Amen. We're so glad to have each and every one of you here with us. We believe God's got something in store for you. I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, if not, that's okay, but if you have a Bible, open them up with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. On the screens, if you can go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16 in the Amplified. In your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. On the screens, they're going to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16 in the Amplified. We started a new series a couple of weeks ago entitled The Helper. And what we're talking about is the Holy Spirit and His ministry and your life. Now, don't worry. The Holy Spirit is not weird. Now, you may have met some weird people, but they were weird long before the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't make people weird. He's not weird. He is the Helper. He's really my closest friend. He helps me in so many different arenas of my life. And our goal is from Scripture to show you the role that He has, the ministry that He has, and longs to play in your life. I heard a joke, I read in some of my past notes from this week. I thought it was pretty good and it kind of ties into this. But a husband was coming home one day and his wife came to him. She said, "I want to spend more time with you, honey. It just seems like you've been busy. And I want to spend some more time with you." And he said, "Great. Well, if you want to spend some more time with me, I'm going hunting this weekend. Feel free to tag along." Well, that wasn't really the answer she was looking for, but he never really thought she would come with him. But anyway, that Saturday morning, he woke up at the crack of dawn, walked downstairs, and there was his wife decked out in camo. He said, "What in the world are you doing?" She said, "Well, you said I could go hunting with you." And so he said, "Well, come on." So they get in the car and they start talking. She said, "Now, honey, when are we going to have fellowship?" Well, he said, "You're looking at it. This is the time where we have fellowship, because when we get out to the hunting ground, you got to be quiet." "Well, why do you got to be quiet?" "Well, if you're not quiet, the deer won't come, and that's the purpose of hunting. You want the deer to come." And so he's explaining all this to her, and she knows nothing about hunting, nothing about animals, nothing about that. And so finally they get to the hunting lodge. They walk out into the forest. He leads her over to her tree stand. He's going to go to another one. And he takes her to her tree stand, and she gets up in there. He said, "Now look, if you see a deer," and he never thought she'd see it, but he said, "If you see a deer," he said, "just aim for it with the sight and just shoot. Just keep firing until it drops." And that was the advice he gave her. So he walks off and he gets about 100 yards. And after about 100 yards, he hears pop, 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 pop. I mean, she's letting off one shot after the next. And he thought, there's no way she could see a deer after just a couple of seconds of me being there. So he comes running back and he hears pop, 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 pop. He comes running back and he sees his wife standing up on the tree stand, yelling at the top of her lungs, "Get away from my deer. Get away from my deer." And he looks out and he sees a cowboy with his hands in the air and he's waving his cowboy hat. He said, "All right, lady, I'll get away from your deer. Just let me get my saddle off of it first." For those of you who didn't get that, we'll pray for you at the end of service. She thought it was a deer, but it wasn't a deer. It was something entirely different. And a lot of people think they know the Holy Spirit, but my question is, do you know the Holy Spirit of the Bible? Not the Holy Spirit from your experience or someone else's experience or what you've seen or what you've heard. Do you know the Holy Spirit from the Bible? Because the Bible has a lot to say about Him. Let's see somewhat of what it says about Him in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Let's read it and then we'll reread it. He says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." So be it. Now, if you have a pen, this would be a good place to make a little note. And put a number one by the first "the" in verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put a little number one by that. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now put a number two by the next "the." And the love of God. Number two. Put a little number two by that "the." And here's the third "the." Put a number three by it. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Now here you see what we would call the Trinity. And once again, we said God's not the blessed two in one. He's the blessed three in one. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And here he says, he identifies the three parts of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he says, each one of them longs to give you something. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean, the grace of Jesus? Well, grace simply means unmerited favor. And when it comes to salvation, being born again, going to heaven, it's not just about your good works. The Bible says if it was about your good works, you could boast. You could sit back and say, well, I'm so good. Look at you. You're not so good. And that's not Christianity. That's religion. No, Christianity is not about works. Christianity is about faith in Christ. What Jesus did for us on the cross, being wounded for our transgressions, being bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace, being laid upon him by his stripes, we were healed. He took on the consequences of our sin, and we accept Jesus as the Lord of our life, and he gives us his amazing grace. Which simply means I am now qualified not by my own actions, but by my faith in Jesus' actions to receive all of God's best. And Paul says, I want you all to understand the grace that's found in Jesus. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I also want you all to see the love that's found in God. Oh, I love that. In the New Testament, you see God revealing himself as a loving father. See, a lot of people have an idea of God that's just not true. They see him as some big old guy with a big beard sitting on a big throne just waiting to judge whoever he can. That's not God. Now, that's a lot of religious people who are just judgmental and critical. But no, if you've ever really met God and if you've ever met a real Christian, there's something that comes from them that you can't find anywhere in this world. And you know what it is? Oh, it's love. It's love. Sinners love Jesus. Drunkards and all, they love Jesus. Love Jesus. Because when they were around Jesus, they found something they couldn't find anywhere else. They found love. Friends, this world is love starved, and most people's definition of love doesn't come close to the agape love that's found in Jesus. It's a love that loves you unconditionally, regardless of your actions, attitudes, or behavior, and it's found in God. He says, I want you to know the grace of Jesus. And I want you to know the love that's found in God. But he doesn't stop there. I hope you found those first two. If not, we're glad you're here because you can find them here. But he said, there's a third one. He said, I want you to find also the communion of the Holy Ghost. That's interesting. Grace found in Jesus, check. Love found in God, check. What about the communion of the Holy Ghost? Can you say, check, I've got that. I've got the grace of Jesus. I've got the love of God. And I've got the communion of the Holy Ghost. This word communion means exactly what you think it means. It means fellowship. In fact, some of you have Bibles, translations that say fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, friends, you can have a close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said, I'll give you another comforter. That simply means one called alongside to help. And the Amplified tells us a big part of that help is counsel. Now, when the Holy Spirit talks to you, it's not like me talking to you. We're not interested in hearing voices. That's weird. But, no, we're talking about something entirely different. When the Holy Spirit talks to you, he doesn't talk like we talk. When we talk about the weather, we talk about friends, or we talk about we went on vacation. When the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, it's for the sole purpose of getting you over into the destiny God has for you. You didn't just get here by accident, friend. You didn't just appear. You had a creator. Think about how intricate your body is. Think about all the blades of grass. Think about all the different types of trees. You're telling me that just happened? No, it couldn't have just happened. That's like saying there was an explosion at a letter factory and a perfect dictionary appeared. No, it didn't happen by a big bang. I'm sure God spoke and bang, things happened. But it didn't happen by a big bang. No, it happened by a creator. You look at the mountains and you see a beautiful sunset. And there's no way you can look at that and tell me there's no God. Creation declares his glory. Well, with that, when you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes alongside you. And after he comes alongside you, what he's looking to do is to get you over into the thing God created you for. Everything God creates has a purpose. Every tree, every blade of grass, every animal has a purpose. When he created you, he had a purpose for you as well. And only the Holy Spirit can get you over into the destiny God has for you. We saw that last week. If you weren't here for last week, then go get that CD or podcast. It'll help you. But it's only the Holy Spirit who can reveal the things to you that God's prepared for you. And so what I want you to do is to say, I've got that. I've got that. I've got the communion of the Holy Spirit. We see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, once again, never take my word for it, always take the word of God for it. Romans 8 and verse 14 in the Amplified, we looked at this last week. It says, for all who, now notice, are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God, you should be, according to the scripture, being led by the Spirit of God. That the reason why you made that decision or made that action is because the Holy Spirit led you into making that decision. Sons of God, daughters of God, children of God ought to be, should be, or supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. Now notice how he does it. Go down to verse 16 in the Amplified, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit himself, I love this, thus testifies. To testify means to talk about what you know. Testifies together with our own what? Spirit. Now we said this last week, man's a three-part being. You remember this? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. The spirit's the part of you that lives forever. That's the part of you that goes to heaven or hell when your body dies. You're a three-part being. Now when God leads you, how's he lead you? The Spirit himself testifies together with our what? With our spirit, not with our soul, not with our body, but with our spirit. Now notice how he does it. I love this in the Amplified. Assuring us that we are the children of God. Now I know that I'm born again. I know I'm born again. Somebody said, well, how do you know? How do you know you're going? Can anyone really know you're going to heaven? Yes. Well, how do you know? Well, I didn't see an angel. I've never seen Jesus. I doubt most of you in here have. If you have, come down. I want to shake your hand at the end of service. But with that, that's wonderful if you've had experiences like that. But our salvation, according to Scripture, is called a no-so salvation. You know it. You know it in your heart when you're right with God. You know it. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. If you're a child of God, I know I'm born again. I know I'm born again like I know the back of my hand. I know I'm going to heaven. I know it in my heart. That's huge, and we'll come back to this. To be led by the Spirit, you need three R's. Three R's. And I'll give you these three R's today, and the goal is to talk about all three. And we're going to see how well we can do that. But we're going to talk about these three R's today. The first R is this. It's a word named respect. Everyone say respect. That's the first. Oh, you sound good this morning. That's the first R is respect. The second R is recognize. Everyone say recognize. And the third R is respond. Everyone say respond. All right. We've got respect, recognize, and respond. The first step to tapping into the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to respect Him. Respect the fact that God's got a plan for you. Respect the fact that God probably is smarter than you. How many of you know it's true? God's smarter than you and me put together. I mean all of us put together. God's smarter than us. Respect that. Respect the fact that he said, I'll lead you and guide you. Respect the fact that he said, my sheep, they know my voice. Respect that. The second thing is recognize. A lot of people just don't discern the voice of God. They're like Samuel in the Old Testament. They hear it, but they don't know it's God. A lot of people think it's just them. So you got to recognize the voice of the Lord. And then the third thing is you got to respond to it. When you get something on your heart, you don't make excuses. You make changes every time. Respect, recognize, respond. Let's talk about these. Go over to the book of Acts in your Bible on the screen. Book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3 in your Bible. Book of Acts, chapter 9. On the screens, go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. In your Bibles, Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. I was reading a couple of weeks ago about the kings in the Bible. Now, there are a lot of kings in the Bible, kings of Israel, kings of Judah. You can read their stories in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. They're all in there, and I encourage you to read them. Now, with this, as I was reading their stories, I found out something very interesting. You know, want to know what I found out? Well, I'm glad you do, because I'm going to tell you anyway. So with this, what I saw was, is that you would think the king is in absolute authority, so it is the king who controls his kingdom. But you know, I found out that wasn't true. You know who controlled the king's kingdom? Whoever had the ear of the king, that's who controlled the kingdom. And I'm telling you, friends, whoever has your ears has your destiny. They have your life. And this is why it's so important to always ask yourself, who has my ears? When I don't know what to do, who do I turn to? When I don't know how to act, who do I turn to? When I want someone's advice, who do I go to? We all go to a lot of different people. This is why if you're married, you want to make sure that you're giving wise counsel to each other. And this is why if you're single, you better marry the right person. Because there's no one outside of Jesus who's going to help or hurt your destiny more than your marriage partner. That's a bottom line. So with this, you got to ask yourself, whose ears are who has my ears? Whose voice am I allowing to speak in my heart? I mentioned earlier I went on this business trip. Well, it wasn't really a business trip. It was a church seminar. I just went with a businessman. He's a close friend of mine, and after the morning meeting, we decided we were looking for something to do. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, well, San Diego is only 67 miles from where we were. I said, let's go down there. Let's go down to San Diego. So we're driving. We don't know where to go. And he said, I know where to take you. He said, right off of San Diego, there's an island called Coronado. And he said, I stayed there at this hotel. Let's go down there and get some coffee before the next session. So we drove down to this place, Coronado, and went to a hotel he stayed at called the Hotel de Coronado. Oh, my word, it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And as we're walking down to go get some coffee and sit kind of by the beach side, they have a little exhibit there talking about the hotel. And the hotel was built in 1880. And so it's existed for over 100 years now. And I mean, it's just as beautiful as it ever was. And we go out there and I'm looking at the history and it's got all the different phases of the building and all the restoration and all that other kind of thing. And we go out and get some coffee and man, we're sitting out there and buddy, you talk about beautiful. I mean beautiful. I've still got on my dress shirt and a tie, but it's 70 degrees outside with a cool ocean breeze. And there's the beach there and then out on the beach in Coronado, there's a big military base. So we're sitting there and a submarine pops up. And then a big Navy destroyer comes out and jets flying overhead. And I tell you what, I had an idea. I said, we need a satellite church right here in Coronado. We don't even need a building. Just get a space jump. That's your children's church. And we can have church. I mean, it's just beautiful, just beautiful. And as I'm sitting there talking, I got to thinking about this hotel. Why has it lasted all these years? Built in 1880. Can you imagine how many hotels have been torn down since then? Can you imagine how many hotels have exchanged hands? Why is this hotel still standing? You know why? It's surrounded by beauty. I mean, it's got beauty all around it. I got to thinking about that, and the Lord really just began dealing with my heart. If you want a great life, you got to one that'll last. You got to surround yourself with beauty. I'm talking about spiritual beauty. That doesn't mean just a label of Christian, because I've met a lot of Christians who weren't spiritually beautiful. Anyone ever met anybody like that? Yeah. You've probably never been to church if you never met anyone like that. But no, it's the truth. You got to surround yourself with people who genuinely Well, I'll put it this way, are deep, because deep calls unto deep. Who has your ear? Now, the goal of God is to get you to where He has your ear. That when you need counsel, when you need advice, when you need help, you go to Him. Now, a lot of Christians, they know this, but they don't practice it. They don't ever go to God. Most people don't ever pray, and when they do pray, it's just over the food or it's over something they really need. But God wants you to go to Him as much as you can and ask for direction for your life. Now notice this scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Now, he didn't say don't get understanding. In fact, Proverbs is chock full of get understanding, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. He said when it comes time to make a decision, though, you don't lean on it. You don't lean on your own understanding. Instead, well, what do? Well, you do this next verse. In verse 6, it says this, in all your ways do what? Acknowledge Him, and then what will He do? He will direct my paths. Now, question, what is the determining factor as to whether or not you and I will get direction? Whether or not I acknowledge Him. But if I acknowledge Him, what's next? Direction, His direction. Now, have any of you ever not acknowledged someone? Sure you have. You were in the grocery store, and you didn't have any makeup on, and you were wearing some sweats, and you were walking down the aisle, and you thought you saw someone you knew, and you just went the other way as fast as you could, right? You ever had that happen to you? Well, what is that? That's a failure to acknowledge someone. You knew they were there, but you didn't want to stop and talk to them. And we've all had that happen before. But, well, you ladies have, hopefully you men have, because you shouldn't be wearing makeup. Anyway, forget it. So with this, we've all had something like that happen before. Now, a lot of people treat God like He's a silent partner. And I'll call upon Him when I need help. But God's saying, no, I want to be the lead partner. I want to be the lead partner. So will you call on me long before you ever need help? And ask me to guide you. Now, this is simple. I'm a simple man. This is simple, but it's the simple stuff that always has the greatest effect. How often do you ask the Lord for help? How often do you stop and say, Lord, help me, lead me and guide me? Lord, I don't know what to do about this. What would you do? Those questions you're asking everyone else, ask Him. He says, if you will acknowledge me, respect the fact, that's what we're talking about. If you'll respect the fact that I want to lead you, by acknowledging me, I will begin to direct you. Notice in Acts chapter 9, this is a man named Saul. You know him now as Paul. And Saul is doing anything but the will of God. I mean, Saul is doing the complete opposite of the will of God. And one day he's going on the way to Damascus and he has a vision and Jesus appears to him. This must be some kind of sight. Let's read in verse 4. And he fell to the earth, that Saul did, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, who are you? And the Lord said unto him, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. I love this next phrase. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Oh, buddy, it's hard to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, now notice this, Lord, this is a key question. What will thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? Now, once again, that's simple, but it's life-changing. Lord, what do you want me to do? I was asking my business friend, I said, when's your life change? When's your life change? She says, 28 years old, experienced success, big success in business, but I was miserable, just miserable. He said, I walked by my grandmother's table, and on her table, she had a big, thick Bible. Any of you got grandmothers with big, thick Bibles? Still got the plastic on it. Big picture of Jesus. And he said, every time I'd walk by it, he said, I'd hear something in my heart saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things would be added unto me. He said, one night I was struggling real bad. I got down on that floor, and I asked the Lord to help me. And my life changed. It's as simple as that. Lord, help me. Help me with this. Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, that's the first R, respect. I'd like to talk on it more, but I need to move to the next one. The next R is recognize. After you've respected, well, I'll put it this way. After you've acknowledged the Lord, what's next? What's He going to do? He will direct you. Now, God's not a liar. There are a lot of people who are liars. God's not a liar. When He says, if you acknowledge me and I will direct your paths, He's not kidding. If you will acknowledge Him, He will begin to direct you. So when He's directing, and I know if I've acknowledged Him, He is, the key then for me is then to recognize His voice, to recognize that direction. My father said something to me years ago, and he preached on it a good bit. So some of you may have heard it. Some of you may have heard me say it. But he said, when God leads you, He's got two ways. One way He uses far more than the other way. The first way He leads you and guides you is by a candle. The second way, and He'll do this occasionally, just when He needs to get your attention, He'll use fireworks. Now, fireworks are big and explosive, but after they launch and after they explode, you maybe saw them for 20 seconds, maybe 20 seconds. But a candle can stay lit all day. And in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the Lord lighting our candle a good bit. Now, when God leads you, the first way He leads you is by candles. The second way He leads you is by fireworks. Now, in Acts chapter 9, we see both. We see both the fireworks and the candles. The firework is big stuff. You can see fireworks with your eyes. It's explosive. It's flashy. Your flesh is drawn to it. And when God leads you by fireworks, your flesh, your natural man, knows it. I mean, Paul, you can't miss a vision, buddy. When Jesus appears to you, you fall on your face. That's a firework. And out of this, Paul got direction for his life. And there are occasions like this in your life and in mine where God sometimes will use fireworks, where He deals with you with your flesh. It could be someone calls you up and starts speaking to you, and you know it's God speaking to you. It could be in a service, someone speaks a word over you, and it's a big firework. Now, anytime God leads you by fireworks, it's because of one of two reasons. The first reason is He's been trying to get your attention in your heart, but for whatever reason, you failed to listen to Him. And so He had to do something to get your attention. God's just good like that. The second reason is it's either that or this. Your life's about to undergo a heavyweight test and trial. And if you don't know it's God speaking to you, you'll back out. You'll quit. You'll give up on that vision. You'll stop pressing in. So He'll use things to confirm His will to you over and over and over and over again. I'll give you an example. I was sitting in a service one time, a young kid, probably 15, sitting in a service, and we had a lady come in to the church. I didn't know who she was, but her name was Mary Fran. And I didn't know what type of ministry she had, but sure enough, within the first couple of minutes, she's walking around the church. I mean, she goes up to certain people and she's reading their mail, man. I mean, reading their mail. Well, you know, you don't know how accurate that is sometimes, but she got up to this one girl, and I knew this girl. And she gets up in front of her and she says, "You're in a relationship that you know you shouldn't be in. And you know to get out of it, and God's been dealing with you to get out of it, but you've made excuse after excuse as to why you're not out of it. And if you don't get out of it now, then it's going to cause you much heartache in the future." Well, when I heard that, man, I got nervous because I just talked to this girl a couple of weeks ago and she told me I'm in a relationship and I know I need to get out of this relationship and I know this is not right. I know this is not good. I know I need to get out of this. And here's this lady telling her the exact same thing by the Spirit of God using a firework. Using a fire. Well, when I heard that, buddy, I started repenting. I said, "Lord, I thought only Brother Hagin's ministry was like this. Forgive me, Lord, for all the sins I have ever committed. My parents don't know about these things. I confess them. You send your word. If I'd confess them, you'd forget them. If you forget them, you can't tell her or she can't tell my parents. I am sorry, Lord. I repent." So anyway, I came alive then. It didn't fall asleep in that service, buddy. Well, why did the Lord use that? Why did the Lord do that? Because she fell under that first category. He'd been trying to get her attention long before then. But she wouldn't yield to Him. Now, when you think being led by God, don't think voice, think knowing. Knowing. I pull up on the screens for me 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John 2 and verse 20 on the screens. Notice what happened here before, while Jesus is speaking to Paul here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. And he said unto him, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." So long before Jesus appeared to Paul through firework, there was a prick. Something on the inside. What I'm doing is not right. What I'm doing is not good. I sure hope I'm not missing it. When you start saying stuff like that, you probably are missing it. Because 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us something. "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." You know all things. Now this word unction means rubbing. You've got a rubbing, and you know all things. In Acts chapter 15, it said, "It seems good unto us and the Holy Ghost." And Acts chapter 18, it says, "I was pressed in the Spirit." In Acts chapter 22, it says, "I go bound in the Spirit." Meaning, there's something in my heart that just knows I ought to do this. Or knows I ought not to do this. I'll put it to you this way. There's a scripture Jesus said this. He said, "How can two walk together unless they," what? "They agree." Now, how many of you are married? Let me see your hand. You married? Okay. All right. So in your marriage, have you ever had a disagreement? A disagreement? When you have a disagreement, I mean, it's getting, you know, however your disagreements go, and you're having this disagreement, you didn't need a pop-up or a marriage counselor to pop up and say, "Guys, you know what this is? This is a disagreement." No, you didn't need me to tell you it was a disagreement. You knew it was a disagreement. Some of you know it's a disagreement. 2 days after, you're still in disagreement. You know when you're not agreeing. Why? Because when two are walking together, they're going in the same direction. When a disagreement happens, you got one trying to go in this direction, another one trying to walk in this direction. And when that happens, you can sense it. You can know it. Well, when you get born again, when you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your heart is made new. Made new, where before you had a heart of stone, now you got a heart of flesh. And your heart knows when you're in agreement. It can sense it. It knows it. And when you're going in the right direction, there'll be an agreement in here. "I know I'm doing the right thing." And your flesh could fight against you, your mind could fight against you. But just on the inside, you know it. And when you're doing the wrong thing, there's disagreement. That you're going this direction, but God's saying, "Go over here." And when that happens, you don't need me to say, "No, that's disagreement." You don't need me to show up and say, "No, that's disagreement." In fact, 9 times out of 10, when someone comes to me for counseling, they already know what to do. They already know. In their heart, they already know what to do. Now, friends, what I'm telling you is that's God. That's God leading you. That's God guiding you. It's a knowing. It's a knowing what you should do. It's a know. "I know I shouldn't be doing it. I know I shouldn't be watching it." Stop watching it. Stop doing it. If you know it in your heart, it's God trying to guide you. So that's the second R, recognize. Now let me get to the third R and we'll close. Third R is respond. Respond. When you've heard from God, you got one of two choices. You can act like you didn't and just keep going your own way, or you can respond to it. Respond to it. Let's go over to Jonah. I know Jonah. I know before you go to Jonah, you're going to have to go to the concordance to find Jonah. Jonah's the part of your Bible where all the pages are still stuck together because you never opened Jonah. But let's go to Jonah and we'll close with this. Jonah is in the Old Testament. It's on page 900 in my Bible, if that helps you. But you're going to see these 3 points here and we'll close with good old Jonah. Everyone say respect, recognize, respond. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Jonah 1, verse 1. And you can put it on the screen so people, yeah, there you go. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." He recognized it. He knows it's God talking to him. "The son of that A-fella, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. So Jonah here knows what God's will is, right? He's recognized the voice of the Lord. The only problem is he's not going to respond to it. Now, why does God want you to respond once you've recognized? Because one, he's trying to get you over into the things he's prepared for you. But two, he's trying to keep you from storms that you never should have gotten into in the first place. Now, you know Jonah's story. What happens? Jonah disobeys that inward witness, disobeys the voice of the Lord, does his own thing, and what happens? He gets in a storm, buddy. He goes over and gets on this boat, and I mean, this storm is raging so hard, the professionals are acting nervous. I mean, and the professionals realize this is not good. When you're on a plane and the pilot comes running down the aisle saying, "Ah!" You know you're in trouble when the professionals are freaking out. And here, the people who are on the boat, they know this is not right. And so they go around and they're asking people, "Who's missed God? Who's missed God? I know someone's out of the will of God here." Because they know the storm is not just a natural storm. They know in order to get back over into peace, I got to get over in the will of God. The heathen even knew that. And finally, you know the story. They throw good old Jonah overboard. And as soon as he's overboard, peace comes. There are some people you need to throw overboard. That's the only way you're going to get peace in your life. But with this, once they throw him overboard, you know the story. A big fish comes up and swallows him. And what's Jonah do? He's going to follow the three R's. Watch him here in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He prayed. What's that? It's the first R. Respect. Lord, I'm coming to you. I acknowledge you. I'm coming to you. He prays. And then, watch this in verse 9. He says, I will offer unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Verse 10. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it spat up Jonah on the dry land. Isn't that interesting? Now watch this in chapter 3. I love God. He's got a sense of humor. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So Jonah's respected. Now he's recognizing the word of the Lord. And watch what God tells him. Arise and go down to Nineveh. God never changes his mind. When he's dealing with your heart about something, he's going to keep dealing with your heart about it until you do it. And once you do it, you move on to the next thing. But for Jonah, the instruction never changed. Go down to Nineveh. And this time, Jonah did it. He responded. And that leads us to the fourth R. When you respect, recognize, respond, it always leads to rewards. A whole city got born again here. Friend, I want to encourage you, each one of you are probably at one of these R's in your life. Some of you are on that fourth R. You're enjoying the rewards of a Spirit-led life. Others of you, you know you need to respect. You know it's been a while since you've gone to God about anything. Some of you have never gone to God. That's okay too. This is your time. Some of you are on the second R. You've gone to the Lord. It's just you're not recognizing Him. You're like Samuel. You want to do right, but you haven't discerned His voice. Once again, we're not looking for voices. We're looking for what? A knowing. What's my heart know to do? And some of you know what to do. You know what to do. The only thing you need to do is respond. Do it. If you do these three R's, you're gonna be led by the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to enjoy the Helper's ministry and walk in some, well, spectacular rewards. Every about, every eye closed. Let me pray for you before we leave. As you're closing your eyes here, let's talk about that first R. Every head bowed, no one's looking around. One thing I'll never do in this church is embarrass you. I'll never embarrass you. I love you. I want you to see God's best. I told that story about that businessman, very successful, but he knew life wasn't right. Now I don't know about you. I don't know who in here feels like life is right and who doesn't. But I guarantee you this, you know. You know. And so if you say, I need to do what he did, Maybe it'd be the first time you ask the Lord for help. Maybe it's a time of rededication. For him, he grew up in a Pentecostal church, turned away from God, saw a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, you don't want to see sometimes. It turned him off from God. Maybe that's you. That was this man. But when it came down to it, he knew, I can't do this without you, Lord. And his heart knew it. And that night, he lifted his hands to God and just asked for help. Now, in this service, I felt led to do this in first service. I'll do it again in this one. I'm going to have everyone in here close their eyes. They should be already. But I'm going to close mine too. I'm not going to look around. I'm not going to look to see if anyone's raising their hand or not. What we're going to do is if you need to, when we start praying, just lift your hand to God. Just lift your hand to God. No one's going to see it but the Lord. But your life can change. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm closing mine too. I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. And if that's you this morning, just lift your hand up to the Lord and say, God, I acknowledge you. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you and I ask you, Lord, help me. Help me in every area of my life. Help me. I'm not going to do things my way. I'm going to do things your way. I give my life over to you. Jesus, I declare you my Lord and my Savior. I know you love me. Even when I haven't loved myself, your love for me has always been there. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I thank you, Lord, my best days start right now in Jesus' name. Amen.